back to the Jeff Porch Show at FM Talk 106.5. Still come on the program today. My colleague at Breitbart News, Matt Boyle, join us. We also got from the Alabama Policy Institute, Phil Williams, a former state senator, and from Yellowhammer News, another colleague of mine, Sean Ross. So please stay tuned for that. Join us now on the program. I did kind of the speed read of the book last evening, but it looks like a compelling read. I hope to do a more in-depth read of it. Shadow Government Southern Style, author an attorney, Tommy Gallion, joins us on the program. Tommy, how are you this morning?
I'm fine, thank you.
Thanks for joining us. A fascinating read, particularly, you opened the book up, the Phoenix City experience, the very beginning of that. I think a lot of people, at least in this part of the state, are familiar with that, but Phoenix City was really, really a remarkable thing for the time in Alabama.
Yes, it was. A lot of people don't realize this. Phoenix City was the number one gambling, racketeering, prostitution, and drug outlet in the United States at that time. And people say, well, how in the world can a small town like Phoenix City? Well, it's just across the river from Fort Benning. And I go into detail because I lived through that. I was 11 years old, but it was, my family had to go into exile, let's say, down in Sarasota, Florida. But it was very interesting. One thing that was most interesting is when they crack Hannah, who was head of the Alabama National Guard, began to drag the river looking for the pistol, because Albert and John Patterson's law office opened up. The parking lot was by the river, as were all the gambling casinos. And as they started dragging the river, they found hundreds of guns, knives, and skeletons. So they gave up. But it was a rough time. And but anyway, that's the first part of the book. The second part of my book is where I've uncovered where gambling has really controlled Alabama forever, at least since Phoenix City. And even I exposed the fact of Ralph Reed and these Christian coalition groups were receiving money from the Indians to tell people to stop gambling, where it would enhance the revenue for the Indian tribes, mainly the Choctaws of Mississippi and the Poarch Creeks down in Atmore. But as I wrote this book, and I found out, and I put in there an affidavit where I was asked to go to a meeting, being a Republican back then. Bob Riley pretty well ran me out of the party, but be that as it may, Wynn Blunt, my good friend, whose father was Postmaster General under Richard Nixon, called me and wanted me to go to a meeting on a Saturday afternoon at his house, and that Karl Rove was coming in, and they were going to set up a plan to indict that Bob Riley was going to, at that time, Congressman Riley, was going to run for governor. And they had put Laura Garrett, Canary, she is the wife of a cousin of Cy Garrett, who orchestrated the Phoenix City murders and gambling. But anyway, she married Bill Canary, who was a lobbyist with Abramoff and Scanlon in Washington, and close with Karl Rove. So Karl Rove and Bill Canary set up this scenario where they would have Laura Canary appointed U.S. attorney, which they did, and that he would come down to Montgomery and marry her, which he did, and they would select a judge that hated Siegmund, which they did, and that judge has resigned for allegedly beating his wife and that type of thing. But anyway, as I got into this thing, I became curious as why Richard Scrushy was included. And I uncovered, I think, one of the biggest corrupt political prosecutions in maybe the history of this country. And so my latest book is a second edition, because people kept coming in with information, and it was really quite startling. In fact, it's very worse, and everybody should be really aware of this. It's like something that's so unreal that it's hard to believe. But to the people, main people involved in this is Carl Rove, who I consider, and I met him with my law partner, Chief Justice, Supreme Court Justice Perry Hupple, was running for that position, and he was my law partner. And Carl Rove wanted him to make up dirty stuff on his opponent, then Chief Justice Hornsby. And I couldn't believe it. So when I left the meeting, I called Judge Hupple. I said, Perry, you're not this type of man. Don't do this. And he didn't, to his credit. Carl Rove is, I don't even know how to describe him. I think he's the most evil human being I've ever run into. He went after Siegelman to try to help Riley, trying to put out all over town and actually hired somebody to investigate and find out if he was a homosexual. Well, it came back he was not married, happily married with two children, and one of his son is a lawyer, quite a very articulate and intelligent young lawyer. But the sad part about it is that this is what Carl Rove has done forever. He is one of the dirtiest human beings I've ever run into, and he gets on TV with his little chalkboard like we're in the third grade. The only thing that Carl Rove has more of than ex-wives, he has three ex-wives, is a number of colleges he dropped out or flunked out of. But you would think he is a Phi Beta Kappa from Harvard. But be that as it may, they set up this scheme to indict and convict Don Siegelman in the middle of the election. And there's no doubt about it. And I refused to go, by the way, to this meeting. I told Wendt, I said, Wendt, don't get near this man, Carl Rove. Well, he did. And anyway, when I read they had indicted Don Siegelman in the middle of the election, I couldn't even believe it. So at that point in time, I became curious because I couldn't figure out what Richard Scrushy did. And what I describe in my book they did to this man and his family is probably one of the worst things that's ever happened in this country. He never gave Don Siegelman a penny. The FBI and the prosecutors had a script for him to read and said if he would read it, saying he did and lie before in a federal court, they would drop everything against him, and to his credit, he refused to. They destroyed this man who built a Fortune 500 company from scratch. He was raised on a farm in South Montgomery County and then over to Selma. He's very hard-working and very bright guy. They even took all his clothes from his house. They even, his wife had a separate business manufacturing pajamas for ladies in 41 states, and they took it away from him. They even took his brother's life insurance. Well, it ends up that this was all a ploy by the Rileys. And Doug Jones is as middle of this as anybody I've ever met. Doug Jones came to our law firm, Haskell Slaughter in Birmingham, a fairly large firm before it blew up at an old firm. But I didn't even know him. I have found out that he was put there to send information to the Department of Justice on one of our biggest cons, Milton McGregor. And he was planted there by his best friend, Rob Riley. Now, if you put Carl Rove, Rob Riley, Bob Riley, Billy Canary, and Doug Jones, they are all close and work together. And it is incredible what these people have done. And this guy that Nick Bailey...
Right.
That they, the most incredible thing on Jones in my book, and I know I'm going fast, but you don't have a few minutes for me, but the most incredible thing, and I talked to Don Siegelman, and by the way, I never voted for Don. I was in school with him at the university. He was always nice to me, and I always liked him. But when I uncovered all this stuff, he and Scrushy didn't even know what the hell happened. They took Scrushy's, this Judge Horn up in Birmingham, who's died, slept through the whole trial. But anyway, he was close to the plaintiff's lawyers, which included Doug Jones and Rob Riley and a major law firm in Alabama. And they took away, they did not even allow him to come to his own trial, civil trial, to take away his company. They gave him, flew him in, put him in the Birmingham jail from the prison in Texas, and let him come in for 1 hour. That's unheard of. And the judge did away with the jury, which is unheard of. These tentacles of this evil group of people is just unbelievable. But the worst thing I can say is, in talking with Don Siegelman, Don Siegelman begged, borrowed, and borrowed from his brother and came up with $325,000 to hire Doug Jones to represent him, primarily in the first case in Birmingham, which Siegelman won. But Doug Jones was disqualified for a conflict of interest. He never, hell, he probably had maybe $10,000 worth of time. He never returned one penny to Don Siegelman. But here is the stunning part. He came to Don Siegelman and asked him for a wave of conflict that he was going to represent Nick Bailey in the Montgomery case.
Right.
And Don told me he was stunned. He said, well, Nick Bailey doesn't have a penny. How is he going to pay you? He said, well, I've been taken care of. Well, he was, and I'm sure the Rileys paid him. This is the most unbelievable thing. I have an affidavit from Nick Bailey's close friend, and we've talked to his brother, one of my people involved in this matter. And he worked behind the scenes to get Nick Bailey to lie on the oath and put Don Siegelman and Richard Scrushy in jail. His own client. And I expose every bit of this because I don't even know how to explain this whole thing because, and I'm not pushing my book. Hell, I don't really care if I make a dime. I've sold about 650 on Amazon Publishing, 200 myself, and 3,600 checkouts on Kindle Library. But, you know, it got legs because it's unbelievable, but I back every bit of it up with documents. I spent 8 years researching this. I'm out of breath.
let me give you an opportunity to catch your breath here real quick. You're right how this it wasn't just relegated to the Bush administration DOJ. It bled over into the Obama DOJ, and then the Eric Holder is implicated in a lot of this. And he also going to say something I found fascinating, that perhaps in some ways Doug Jones was later rewarded by becoming United States Senator in 2017. That while he ran against a very weak candidate, in Roy Moore, perhaps he had some help, you know, because he was allied with Karl Rove back in the day.
Well, you know, the one of the most amazing things that people are going to find stunning, guess who Karl Rove's lawyer was at Covington and Burling, the largest law firm in Washington? Guess who his lawyer was in the Jill Simpson who got him having to testify on the oath before the congressional committee? Guess.
You tell us.
Eric Holder.
Right.
And Eric Holder kept Laura Canarian there 2.5 years, which is unheard of. Normally a U.S. attorney resigns the minute the opposing party's administration begins. And it when Trump talks about the swamp, and I used to have a little office in Washington, and I'd go over and sit at the Ritz-Carlton to have breakfast, and I could hear all the lobbyists, and it was Democrats and Republicans working together to screw the public, and it just became almost sickening to me. But if you look at all of this, and I really worked hard putting it together, I just became obsessed with it. It is, to me, one of the most outrageous things that ever happened. And in the meantime, Eric Holder, and this is stunning, Johnny Ford, who was the mayor of Tuskegee, and Fred Gray, the icon, original lawyer for Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks, flew to Washington to beg Eric Holder to stop the rallies from shutting down Milton McGregor's casino operation because he was funding the schools, the libraries, the ambulance service, and all that. They flew to Washington, waited 3 hours, and Eric Holder snuck out the back door and stood them out. Now, that is the icon of the civil rights movement. They destroyed Tuskegee, which was part of their plans. They destroyed McGregor, all for the money given to them by the Indians. And it's just fascinating. I'll probably be executed for this. And my first book was part one and two, and it was a grenade. This is a damn Scud missile. And I beg them to sue me. I know they won't, because he can't go on to oath. But it's a fascinating thing, and I'm 77. My dad was 2-term attorney general. I guess I was raised by investigators and stuff. But I just decided in my last hurrah to go out and expose all this corruption. And the Rileys came out muffing millionaires after 8 years in office.
Well,
and, you know, I challenge them to deny it. They won't deny it, because they can't.
We're going to have to, we're up against a break here. We're going to get you on again real soon to talk more about this. But you got a book event coming up at Page and Powell over across the bay at Fairhope on Saturday, October 17th. The book is Shadow right. Government Southern Style. Mr. Gallion, thank you for making time for us this morning.
Sure. Thank you.
That was Tommy Gallion on the program talking about his book. One more time, Shadow Government Southern Style. A compelling read, whether you believe it or not, but I find it fascinating. Check it out. I encourage everybody to check it out. Got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Every gambler knows.